And so, my boy, one day when I was talking with the dervish Haji Zephyr Baga Eddin about the ancient Chinese science of Shat Kai Nernis, he proposed, in the course of conversation, that I should go with him to see another dervish, a friend of his, who was a great authority on this ancient Chinese science, in order to talk about it with him. He told me that his friend lived in Upper Bukhara, far away from everyone, and was occupied there with certain experiments relating to this science. As I had no special business in the town where we happened to be, and as his friend resided in the very mountains I had long wished to explore, I at once agreed, and on the very next day we set off. After leaving the town, we walked for 3 days. Finally, high up in the mountains of Upper Bukhara, we stopped in a narrow gorge. This region is called Upper Bukhara because it is very mountainous and much higher than the rest of the country, called Lower Bukhara. Here in this gorge, my acquaintance, the dervish Haji Zephyr Baga Eddin, asked me to help him move a stone slab to one side, and when we had moved it, a small opening was disclosed from the edge of which 2 iron bars projected. He held these bars together and listened attentively. Soon a strange sound was heard coming from them, and to my astonishment, Haji Zephyr Baga Eddin said something into the opening in a language unknown to me. When he finished speaking, we moved the stone slab back into place and went on. After having covered a considerable distance, we stopped in front of a rock, and Haji Zephyr Baga Eddin again waited very intently for something, when suddenly the enormous stone that lay there slid aside, revealing the entrance to a cave. We entered this cave, and as we moved forward, I noticed that our way was lit up alternately by what are called gas and electricity. Although this lighting astonished me and I had a number of questions about it, I decided not to disturb the serious attentiveness of my companion. When we had walked a considerable distance, we saw at one of the turnings another terrestrial three-brained being coming to meet us, who welcomed us with the greetings customary there, and led us further. This was the friend of my dervish acquaintance, Haji Zephyr Baga Eddin. He was quite old, from the point of view of your favorites, and in comparison with those living around him, he seemed very tall and extremely thin. His name was Haji Asvats Truv. As he talked with us, he led us to a small chamber in the cave where we all sat down on the felt that covered the floor and, continuing our conversation, began to eat what he called cold Bukharian shila pilaf, which this elderly being brought in an earthenware vessel from a neighboring chamber. While we were eating, my dervish acquaintance told him, among other things, that I too was very interested in the science of Shat Kai Nernis, and then explained briefly what I already knew about it and what in general we had discussed before. After that, the dervish Haji Asvats Truv began to question me himself, and I gave him appropriate answers, but of course in the form already habitual to me, behind which I could always hide my real nature. In fact, during my sojourn on your planet, I became so skillful at talking in this manner that your favorites always looked on me as one of their own scientists. From the conversation that followed, I learned that this venerable Haji Asvats Truv had been interested in this science for a long time, and that during the last 10 years he had been studying it exclusively in its practical aspect. I also realized that in this study he had reached results scarcely attainable by contemporary terrestrial three-brained beings. When I had ascertained all this, I was greatly astonished and wished very much to know how it had come about, because I was well aware that such knowledge had long ago ceased to exist in the reason of the three-brained beings of the earth. And thus, this venerable Haji could not have heard about it often, and thereby, as is usual among them, have had an interest gradually awakened in him. And indeed, my boy, it has long since become proper to the three-brained beings who have taken your fancy to become interested only in what they often see or hear about. And whenever they do become interested in something, this interest stifles all their other being needs, and it always seems to them that what interests them at the moment is the very thing that makes the world go round. When the necessary relationship had been established between this kindly dervish, Haji Asvats Truv, and myself, that is to say, when he had begun to talk with me more or less normally without the mask, which it has become fully proper to your contemporary favorites to wear in front of other beings like themselves, especially when they meet them for the first time, I asked him, of course, in the approved manner, why and how he had become interested in this branch of true knowledge. In this connection, I should tell you here that in general, on the surface of your planet, in the process of the ordinary being existence of these strange three-brained beings inhabiting each separate region, their own special form of external relationship with one another have gradually been established and have passed again from generation to generation. And these various forms of relationships among them came about of themselves after the final atrophy in their psyche of the being property of sensing the inner feeling of other similar beings toward oneself, the property which infallibly ought to exist in all beings of our great universe, without distinction of form or place of arising. At the present time, on your planet, good or bad mutual relationships are formed solely according to artificial outer manifestations, especially according to empty words, without an atom of what is called the result of an inner benevolent impulse, such as generally arise in the presence of all beings on meeting others like themselves. Nowadays, however much one being may inwardly wish another well, if for some reason he were to express himself to the other in words conventionally regarded as not good form, then all is over between them. In all the separate spiritualized localizations of the one to whom he spoke, data are invariably crystallized, which by association engender in him the conviction that he, who in fact inwardly wishes him well, exists only to do him every possible kind of villainy. So, particularly in recent times, it has become indispensable there to know all the different forms of verbal address if one wishes to have friends and not make enemies for oneself. The abnormal existence of these strange three-brained beings has not only spoiled their own psyche, but, by repercussion, has also gradually spoiled the psyche of almost all the terrestrial one-brained and two-brained beings. The data giving rise to the inner being impulse I mentioned are no longer formed in the presence of those terrestrial one-brained or two-brained beings with which your favorites have long had and still have frequent contact and relations. It's true that these being data still arise in the presence of certain terrestrial one-brained and two-brained beings of different exterior forms. For example, those they call tigers, lions, bears, hyenas, snakes, phalangers, scorpions, and so on, whose mode of existence has never brought them into any contact with these biped favorites of yours. Yet, owing to the abnormally established conditions of the ordinary existence of your favorites, one strange and highly interesting feature has already been formed in the common presence of the beings I mentioned, which is that these tigers, lions, bears, hyenas, snakes, phalangers, scorpions, and so on, take the inner feeling of fear in other beings confronting them as enmity toward themselves, and therefore strive to destroy these others in order to avert their menace. And this is because those three-brained beings who have taken your fancy, thanks always to the same abnormal conditions of existence, have gradually become, as they themselves say, spiritless cowards from head to foot, while at the same time the need to destroy the existence of beings of other forms has been inculcated in them also from head to foot. And so, when your favorites, who are already arrant cowards, are about to destroy the existence of beings of other forms, or when they unexpectedly meet these beings, which to their misfortune and to our regret have now become stronger than they, both physically and in other being attainments, they get in such a panic that, as they say, they wet their pants. Nevertheless, having the inherent need in their presence to destroy the existence of these beings of other forms breeding on their planet, they contrive at such moments to find the means to accomplish this. And, as a result, from the radiations of these favorites of yours, there are gradually formed in the common presence of these beings of other forms, instead of the data that should exist in them for engendering the impulse of instinctively showing respect and sympathy to every form of being, other data with a special functioning, thanks to which the feeling of cowardice appearing in the presence of your favorites is taken as a threat to themselves. That is why, whenever these terrestrial one-brained and two-brained beings meet your favorites, they always strive to destroy them in order to escape the danger to their own existence. In the beginning, all beings on your planet, in spite of the differences in their exterior form and brain system, existed together in peace and concord. Even today, it occasionally happens, one of your favorites perfects himself to the point of sensing, with all his spiritualized parts, that every being, or, as is said, every breathing creature, is equally near and dear to our common Father Creator, and thanks to his fulfillment of being Parktog duty, he attains the complete destruction in his presence of the data for engendering the impulse of cowardice before beings of other forms, so that they not only make no attempt to destroy the existence of this perfected being, but even show him every kind of respect and render his service as to a being with greater objective possibilities than they. In short, all the foregoing and a multitude of other minor factors also resulting from the abnormal existence of these favorites of yours have finally brought about the establishment of various forms of verbal amiability for their mutual relationship. And, as I've already told you, each locality has its own special form